Hello and welcome from the 19th annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. This is Catholic Answers Live. Delighted to be with you and to share these hours with you. The second hour, Dr. Greg Popcheck will be here. We're going to talk about anxiety and peace of mind and how, in his capacity both as a psychologist and as a Catholic, a well-prepared Catholic theologian, I think it's going to be a very helpful hour. I hope you'll be here for it. This hour, we welcome somebody I am just delighted to say that I got to meet in person today. And I don't know if I was rude, but I just thought she looked very young when I met her. And I hope that I wasn't rude. Gloria Purvis is our guest. Hi, Gloria.
Hey, Si. Look, anytime you're going to tell me I look young, how could that possibly be rude? I mean, come now.
All right.
And by the way, I was fangirling myself. I just had to be real chill about it.
What does that mean, fangirling myself?
Fangirling myself. Like, I was fangirling about you.
Oh,
I was fangirling about you.
You were very chill.
I was super chill.
You were very chill.
I was super chill.
As a matter of fact, I've noticed that pretty much anyone who fangirls me apparently is very chill because I have never had the experience before. Our number, if you'd like to talk with Gloria this hour, 888-318-7884. Gloria is one of the hosts of Morning Glory. They always stick her with these difficult men to work with in the morning. Right now, she's working with Tom Price.
Can you
Price.
Imagine? Mm-hmm.
That's a tough job, working with Tom Price
in the
morning.
I mean, he's just like so impossible. No, Tom is the best. He is such a gentleman.
You better say that. He's standing right there.
Well, everybody that listens knows I'm telling the truth. Tom's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's a lot of fun,
He's
too.
A good man, and boy, he makes us feel very welcome when we come here. Tonight, there'll be a banquet, awards banquet, the local Catholic radio stations and networks do all kinds of work throughout the year, and that will be rewarded tonight. People will hear samples of their work and vote on it. You're presenting one of those?
Yes, I think I'm going to do top of the hour ID, something like that.
Oh.
Top of the hour show ID, I think is what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, I have best use of the cough button. I don't think anyone will be left in the room when I go up there to present that.
Hey, there's free wine tonight. There'll be plenty of people still there regardless of what we do.
What are you, a Catholic?
You're right.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. We thought with Gloria, always very up on the current events, Gloria came kind of to the world's attention with her pro-life involvement. You have, in addition to your duties... Now, you might have to help me with the name of the organization.
Black Catholics United for Life?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Black Catholics. I wasn't going to forget any of those words. You're the chairperson of Black Catholics United for Life.
Yes,
and so it's your pro-life activities, really, that brought you to the attention of the world. And so you stay up on the current things.
I do. And I always have something to say about it, it seems.
Well, it's good since they put a microphone in front of you every morning.
I think they're brave.
I think whether you're Republican or Democrat, I think the thing to do now that the election is behind us, is to just be in an angry and depressed stupor. I think that's what God wants from us. So I want to get your take on that.
You know, I do think that the way when the elections come, there seems to be this like hyper reaction, mania, fear, you know. It all depends on you and your candidate winning, whoever that candidate is.
Yeah.
And I think that's precisely the wrong attitude. I think people are a little too obsessed about elections, as if that's going to, you know, change the outcome of whether Jesus comes back or not, or whether he's still on the throne. I say, look, people, yes, as Catholics, we have responsibility to do our civic duty and to definitely vote. To vote your conscience. Obviously, I say vote pro-life. We know what the non-negotiable issues are. To go and do that and then be done. Don't expend so much energy that could be spent in prayer and growing in holiness. I think we allow elections and polls to, you know, occupy a little bit too much of our mind and take too much of our peace. Regardless of who wins, Jesus Christ is on the throne, and we still have our responsibilities as Catholics, right? And we should be wanting to grow in holiness every day. So I was thinking a lot of that time spent worrying should actually be spent loving.
Wow. Amen to that. I'll just give it an amen right now. 888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to get in on this conversation. We're talking a bit about living in Christian hope, even in times that often feel hopeless and feel mm-hmm. full of struggle and contention and partisanship and difficulty. And I guess I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. 888-318-7884 is the number. Again, Gloria Purvis is our guest. Gloria is one of the hosts of Morning Glory, which I always just call Morning Gloria. Is that all right? I
mean, it's Morning Glory. A lot of people think, is it Morning Gloria? Because my name is Gloria, but it's actually Morning Glory. But you can say Morning Gloria. We'll know what you're talking about.
And I, on the way here from the airport, I was on the shuttle bus uh-huh. with your producer,
Alisa Murphy.
Alisa, and she invited me to come on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
So I want you to know I'm coming on the show tomorrow, like it or not.
Okay.
But I was just informed that involves me getting up at 6 in the morning.
I'm so sorry, yes.
Maybe she could have mentioned that before.
Right? Well, that's a part of the bait and switch. You're like, will you come on our show? And then everybody's like, yes, and they've announced it. It was like, by the way, you have to get up before God's awake and come on.
I don't know what time God gets up here in Alabama, but I wasn't planning on being up at 6 in the morning.
Yes, yes, yes. You can enjoy some of that coffee we have as well. So, you know, you'll see what it's like to party with us tonight and then get up super early in the morning. So we do it.
888-318-7884, the number. I got to look at Darren to tell me how many minutes we got because I don't know. Okay, so let's go to a call. How about we start with Leah in Satellite Beach, Florida, listening on 920 a.m. Leah, you are on with Gloria Purvis. Your question, please.
Oh, I'm so excited. I wanted to thank both of you before any questions for making me realize that even if I didn't want to be, I'm going to be Catholic. I rode home from work one day listening to this show, and I think there was a question that was, where in the Bible does it say that it's okay for all these other religions to exist? And I think the answer is, well, it doesn't. And I nearly, I drove through a red light. I was like, whoa, is that true? So sometime later, I'm still going along, happily Episcopalian. And then later, probably 4 months ago, Gloria, I was riding to work when you spoke about the American Anglican Episcopal Church saying that the next Book of Common Prayer is going to be gender neutral.
Yeah.
And I realized then that if that's what the church I attend believes, then I can't attend it.
Wow.
And more than any question, I wanted to thank you both because I've probably been getting hints all my life. Marcus Grodi was the associate pastor where I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
That's a big hint.
And, but my brother-in-law was the musical director, and he goes, how do you get from Presbyterian to Catholic? And none of us could figure it out. And it took about, another 40 years, but I get it.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just wanted to thank you both for the things that you say on the air, and I don't want you to underestimate the impact you have on people that are simply starting their day or ending their day on a happy note, just driving in the car. And I was so thrilled to hear you on together. I don't believe I got through, but thank you and God bless you both.
Oh, Leah, my goodness.
That's beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful. Glory to God. You know, I don't wear makeup, and I have to wear makeup today because we're going to this banquet, and I'm trying not to mess up my eyeshadow from crying. This was so beautiful. I started tearing. I was like, okay, don't lose your cool. That is so beautiful. Glory to God. This is why we exist, you know? We want to share the light of truth, and you just made me realize how important it is not to gripe when I get up early. This is beautiful. Thank you, Leah, for sharing that.
God bless you. Thanks for everything.
God bless you too, Leah. Why were you looking right at me when you said don't gripe about getting up early in the morning? Did you just give me the evil eye?
I was just giving you a hint, brother.
You know,
wow.
Gloria, what a lovely call to start out with. I wish, you know, a lot of people are getting ready for the banquet right now.
Yeah,
so we don't have 1,000 people in the room with us or anything, but
yeah.
I would just like to tell that to every one of these
yes.
people who work so hard to keep their local radio station on or to start a new radio station. I mean, there's people here that they have just put their life into sharing the good news
yes.
in their local community. Mm-hmm. They're the heroes of this.
They are. They really are.
And it makes it fun to be here. And Leah, you really inspired us. Okay, and I'm going to be so happy getting up at 6 tomorrow
yeah,
to be
right.
on Morning Gloria.
Right. Well, we'll be happy to have you.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about having hope and keeping your Christian hope alive in these contentious times. The election's over. You can go back to loving Jesus and being full of joy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Gloria Purvis on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to the 19th Annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference, Catholic Answers Live, broadcasting live from the floor of the conference. I'm looking across at a big, giant picture of Gloria Purvis, which she tells me she does not even look.
I try not to look at it, no.
But what about a six-foot-high
picture? That freaks me out. Okay, I walked up here and I was like, oh, and it's right across from the live broadcast spot, so I have to like look everywhere else except at myself. It's really, strange.
Well, we're talking about, and I do believe Gloria is the perfect person to talk about this, because two things, Gloria. You're very serious in your faith, in your pro-life activism, but you're not going to let things knock you off your joy. And that's what we're talking about today, not getting knocked off your joy by all the contention in our society. Walt in Pennsylvania is ready to go. Walt is listening to EWTN Radio online. Walt, your question for Gloria.
So hi, Gloria. Thanks for taking my call. And I listen to you on Morning Glory almost every day.
Oh, thank you for listening.
And I appreciate what you say. Now, how do we get priests to understand we have a Holocaust going on, and not this is not just one of several issues? I mean, I heard nothing from the pulpit this last Tuesday that this is an important election and could make a difference on whether or not legislation is passed to protect unborn children or, you know, protect religious liberty, et cetera. And it seems like, how can you vote for a Democrat when they're all pro-abortion?
Well, you know, to be fair to the priest, it could be that the bishop says that he doesn't want anything even remotely related to politics spoken of from the pulpit. So he might not want to say anything specific about election. He certainly could have spoken about the issue of pro-life and abortion and give a mini catechesis, if you will, without necessarily mentioning voting for any particular candidate. I think some churches are very fearful of the IRS snatching their nonprofit status if they're mistaken for electioneering from the pulpit. So that let's say, so maybe that could be the reason why.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop them from actually talking about the issue without necessarily saying vote for this candidate or that candidate. They certainly can do that. I would say talk to your pastor. If you have a relationship with them, you could say, "Your father, you know, how can I support you in being able to get out the pro-life message to help people understand that we are people of life?" I was joking off air thinking about something like that, and I was like, you know, unless you have some kind of strong weapon, they might not say it. But that there's nothing stopping you as a lay person from being able to speak. Actually, that is a lot of how I became so active in the pro-life movement. I mean, I got a little chastisement from the Lord, which put some fire under me, but I have to say I didn't rely on my pastor to put the message out. I felt like I could do it through my activity in the parish, and so I'd encourage you to do that. And also, when you do hear a pro-life message, you know, homily, encourage the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the pastor, because I can tell you they're getting a lot of complaints. Somebody even come up to the chancery. So I think we need to praise them when they do it and encourage them when they don't. I will tell you this one little quick story. Right before I had organized with the Archdiocese of Washington, where I lived, I had organized Abortion Awareness in the Black Community Month. And so I went around to all the predominantly Black parishes and had lined up, you know, talked to the pastors. They'd have somebody come in. Usually a pastor at the parish would come and go up and give a homily. Well, before this particular Mass, this particular priest was physically trembling. Like he was terrified. And so I went over, and I could tell it. So I just went over to him and I put my hands on him and I just started praying with him and reminding him, you are a shepherd of the Lord. You are saving your sheep. Defend us from the wolf. And I just had to really pray and say, it's going to be good. And if nobody else is here that's going to appreciate what you're saying, I am.
Yeah.
So do that as well. Be there with them before and encourage them and be them with them after to encourage them. And then from there, once they've got the word out with love, you can start speaking also to people in the parish. Just a suggestion.
Okay, Walt?
Yeah, I did send him a letter and, you know, he put this little pastor's corner and he told him to go to the local, the PA Catholic Conference, which had a really wimpy voter guide. But I sent him a bunch of other ones, so I guess I got to keep working on them. And another thing is I was walking around at different churches putting pro-life voter guides on cars, and I was literally chased off the church property because, heaven forbid, people know the truth.
You know what you might do with your energy, which I think is fantastic? Contact the pro-life office in your diocese and tell them you want to work with them. Sometimes having the diocese with you, people will say, okay, this is a trustworthy person. That would be my suggestion as well. Tell them you have an energy, you have a desire to help get the message out in the churches, the parishes, and in particular in your parish, and you want to partner with them to bring them to your parish to maybe start a pro-life ministry or at least talk to people about it. I think that will also help you as well and help in terms of your pastor too.
It doesn't help to go up to your pastor and say, what can I do for you, Father, in your work too every now and then?
Yeah,
you
that's know, true.
Because they're breaking their back celebrating the sacraments with people and doing that. So you can offer your help to them too in a non what would we say?
Threatening.
Non-threatening or manipulative way.
Yeah,
you're not trying
right.
to get anything from him.
Just help
out. Walt, thanks very much for that call. Our number, 888-318-7884. We are live in Birmingham, Alabama, with Gloria Purvis, one of the hosts of Morning Glory here on EWTN. But you don't, this is not home for you.
No. I live up in the Washington, D.C. area. Right up there, right where everything is going on. So that's where I live. I'm originally, though, a Southern girl. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. So when I heard that, you know, I was coming down south, I was looking forward to the sweet tea and nobody looking at me sideways when I say y'all. So this was great.
Oh, okay. Now I'm hoping I didn't look sideways at you when you said y'all.
When I said y'all, you were like, weirdo.
What?
No.
What's up with Gloria?
Right.
Really putting it on.
No. It's legit. I'm a Southerner. Yep, I bleed sweet tea.
Yeah. So. And they do make sweet tea here.
They do. Bless them. I'm in God's country.
888-318-7884 is the number. Let's go to Carol in Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Carol, your question for Gloria.
Hi, Gloria, and hi.
Hi, Carol.
I have a sister who is going through a divorce after 30 something years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's living with a married man, and she's getting a divorce, but she's still married. She invited us all. I have five siblings. She invited us all for Thanksgiving, and most of us didn't feel comfortable going. And so then she decided to go with his family, which is his ex-wife and his two kids. And then it ended up that I first thought it was only one of my sisters who was going to be alone. Then I told her, why don't you come here? But now it's going to be most of my family. And I'm just wondering, I just don't feel like I want to meet this man while they're living together in this situation. And I don't want him to invite him here either. And my husband definitely doesn't, because my brother-in-law, who my sister is divorcing, I mean, he was one of my husband's favorite people in the family, and so it's a tough situation, and And now with Christmas coming after Thanksgiving and everything, I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't want to tear the family apart. Am I wrong to not want to meet him?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me make sure I understand the situation. Your sister is going through a divorce. She has not had an annulment. The guy that she's living with is divorced and also has not had an annulment, and they're living together as husband and wife?
Yes, but they are both married still.
To other people.
My sister's going through a divorce, but her friend is not.
He's still married,
and he seems to, I guess he told her that he doesn't think he's really married or something.
Wow. Yeah, this is a mess. This is a hot mess, as we call it. But you know what? You don't have an obligation to make the rest of your family unhappy. And if you believe that it's a poor witness to be accepting of that behavior, then I don't think in good conscience you are wrong to say I have to keep a boundary around my household. I think sometimes we can feel like that we don't want to hurt people's feelings, but I think what's more important, honestly, is to make sure you're not hurting somebody's soul. And if you do believe that having her and this man that she's in this irregular relationship with come to your home would be sending the wrong message to her and the man, as well as creating discord in your household, there's nothing wrong with keeping a boundary for yourself and for your family. And that's how you should see it.
Okay,
you know,
Carol?
Keeping a boundary.
How about if I mean, should I have accepted going to their house for?
Do you think that it would have sent the signal that you were okay with how they were living?
Yeah, I do.
Then you know, in good conscience, I would say no. I mean,
okay.
you wouldn't, let's say this, let's say if she and her husband were not divorced, right? And she had the same kind of setup as the other guy who says, look, I may be married, but I don't really think I'm married. You would have probably no qualms of saying, look, I'm not going to go over there and be a part of that. This is wrong. There's really no difference in situation here as you've described it to me.
Carol, we'll leave it there. I hope that was helpful to you. That's kind of one of those extreme holidays.
Oh, my goodness.
You probably do, too. We get a lot of these kind of questions around the holidays because people are stressing about it. And sometimes I think the best advice we give people is, you know what, just hold your tongue and go. Mm. But this is pretty extreme.
Ooh,
two married people.
I know. Living together.
Living together. Not married to one another.
Married to other people and then living together as if they're married and then wanting their families to come over to act like it's a big normal celebration. Yeah, that's really a bit much.
Yeah, you'd be sending a definite message with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Lisa in Houston listening on Guadalupe Radio. Lisa, delighted to have you. Your question for Gloria.
Hi. Good afternoon. Gloria, this morning I heard you on your show and you were mentioning something about contemplative prayer.
Oh, yeah,
and I just started a Bible study last night, and today was my first day to do the prayer. And I was very frustrated because I just, I don't know, I couldn't do it or I didn't feel. And your steps seem so simple. If you could go over this again a little bit. And then just to mention a while ago, you said, you know, what we do, you know, when the world is falling apart around us, what I tell my coworkers is to read Psalm 2. Which clearly tells us that God sits up in his throne just looking at the schemes of man and how we just kind of play around. And he laughs at us.
Yeah.
And we know that at the end, God wins.
Yes.
We win, God wins, and I just tell him to just have peace about it because sometimes he puts people in place in office and he uses them as pawns. Or vice versa. So keep that in mind. And then you said we don't have a weapon. We do. We have the rosary, and perhaps the times that we're going through right now is so that America can wake up and start praying the rosary daily because that's the only way we're ever going to win this battle.
All right, Lisa.
So in terms of contemplative prayer, you say you read scripture. You know, sometimes it's contemplative prayer is really nothing more than having a holy conversation with God. And sometimes you don't need to use words. You just sit there and make yourself present to him. My suggestion is when you're reading scripture, look for the Lord in what you're reading. Sometimes it might be a scripture verse where he's actually present in there. Like maybe I like to say the Lord likes to barbecue because, you know, he was cooking fish after the resurrection. So it could be that. There's such a thing called Lectio Divina, like really allow the words to come to life. Like, can you smell the fish being cooked? Can you hear it? You know, what the crackling would sound like. Just really place place yourself in the Word, and look for Christ. Other times that you, other things that you can do with contemplative prayer is just sit in silence. I'm not sure if you go are able to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but just to sit in silence and to try to quiet your mind and wait on the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, and I'm not saying that you should get upset if you have distracting thoughts. You could say a little prayer beforehand, saying, Lord, I come to you. I'm putting myself in the presence of waiting on you. I know I may have some distracting thoughts, and Lord, I'm going to rebuke those distracting thoughts, and I want to be present to you. And he understands the effort. And so just do that, and don't get frustrated with yourself. Just give yourself a little bit of time, maybe even 5 minutes a day, that you can do that and be quiet and wait on the Lord.
Lisa, thank you for that call. Gloria Purvis is our guest, and we're talking about maintaining your hope in tough times, in contentious times, and not letting go of that hope in Jesus. Give a call, 888-318-7884. Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. And we are broadcasting live from the National Catholic Radio Conference in Birmingham, Alabama, which is put on by EWTN, the great pioneer of Catholic radio and the great supporter of Catholic radio. And one of the things that EWTN does that you may not know about is they help people who have a local radio station or a local network, and all a whole bunch of that is going on here. People getting one-on-one meetings with EWTN experts who can help them with, I guess, everything from social media to engineering.
To their bylaws, to their organization.
One guy told me he came all the way from Texas. He's got a station that's half in Spanish and half in English, and he doesn't have the software to keep up with it. He said he had to come here to EWTN and have the EWTN people help him with the software. So all that stuff happens here. Mm-hmm. Another reason why you should support EWTN, pray for EWTN, and the miracle continues, so to speak. And another thing, Gloria, Gloria Purvis, by the way, is our guest. She is one of the hosts on EWTN. Which means she's very famous and fabulously wealthy.
Sorry,
isn't that how it works? Yeah. But when I see that banner right there that says 19th annual conference, I think 19 years ago, Catholic radio was nothing like what it is now.
No.
The last 20, 25 years have been absolutely a miracle in Catholic radio.
Fantastic.
I'm looking at Tom Price about this because he's the expert. But you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's extraordinary to see hundreds and hundreds of Catholic radio stations across the country. So that's why Darren and I came here, and we have a wonder. Oh, here we have a microphone for Tom Price. I'm sorry.
I will just jump in real quick.
Yes, would you please, Tom?
Yeah.
I joined the network in 1997. We had five stations. I could tell you who the managers were, the names of their kids, where they were on the dial. I can't do that anymore.
Really? You can't keep track of all of these?
Sorry.
No. And you know what I noticed, Tom, too, is on this end of the hall, you have English language. On the other end, there's Spanish language.
That's true.
Programming being... I don't want to say they're on the good end of the hall, but Tom, they're on the good end of the hall.
They're in a good spot.
Yeah.
They're in a good spot.
But that's so encouraging. I mean, it's so many good things are happening at Catholic Radio.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that we make everything free. And that was something that Mother Angelica said at the very beginning when we first began. She said, we will give you all the Catholic programming you want 24 hours a day. If you want to do your own local show, if you want to do your own local morning show or ask the bishop or whatever you want to do, that's on you. But we will provide all the programming you need, which is the most expensive thing for any radio station, secular or religious, is the programming. And Mother said, we'll make it for free.
Yeah, and it's and man, she was one to just step out and trust, wasn't she?
She really was.
All the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the way.
And Gloria was telling me earlier about how she decided where to put the shortwave transmitter.
It's a great story.
You know that story? Gloria,
I do.
Tell it, Gloria. What did you...
Well, I think Tom could tell it better than I can.
I'm not sure, but I will give it a try. Mother and her engineering team went really all over the place. They were looking to build studios in Rome, to build a shortwave facility in Rome. It was just too expensive. So she said, well, let's try America. And so they looked at all sorts of land in the area and other areas, and they came upon this one spot, and the vice president of engineering said, you know what, we need to skip this one, Mother, because it's up on a hill that's not right for shortwave. There's a lot of iron in the ground, iron ore. That would make terrible propagation, all that stuff. And she said, well, let's just go anyway and look around. So there's like five of them jump out of the van. They're walking around looking here, looking there. And Mother at one point said, this is it.
Wow.
This is it. And the vice president said, oh, Mother, this won't work at all. It just won't work for a number of engineering reasons.
Yeah.
And Mother just looked at him and said, did you see St. Michael the Archangel planting, you know, pointing right here?
This is the spot.
Yeah.
And he said, well, no, Mother. She said, well, I did, and this is it.
Wow.
And from that day to this, that's been the shortwave facility. And the signal goes much further than it is supposed to.
Yeah.
Technically, that vice president was correct. The signal should not go past the Ural Mountains in Russia. The signal should not get into Australia. It should not get, you know, basically all over the world from where it is. But it does. It's a God thing.
Yes.
Wow.
I think that's amazing.
Thanks for sharing that, Tom.
Absolutely.
I heard that men from Japan have come to study it because they can't figure out how come. They say it is the best shortwave in the world, right there from that spot.
We've had engineers here from the BBC, Voice of America, who are going, well, why does this go, you know, your transmitters are nothing special here. And we just say, well, this is a God station.
Amen.
Yeah, and is St. Michael the patron of Catholic radio? Not sure if he's the patron of Catholic radio.
If he wasn't before,
he is now.
That's right.
We're going to make him, though.
Again, thanks, Tom. 888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. Tom and Gloria do the morning show here on the EWTN network. That show is called Morning Glory. And I am so delighted I get to get up at 6 in the morning and be on the show with them tomorrow.
I love it.
My attitude is so positive now since
right.
Leah called.
Right.
I have a totally different outlook on things. Let's go to, Vicki in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Vicki, you are up. Your question for Gloria Purvis.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
I have two sisters that have left the Catholic Church, and talking to them can get very difficult. How do we pray them back into the church and behave so that we can invite them back into the church?
Yeah, that's a very common situation. I say, get to know St. Monica. Let her be your patron in helping you with this. She prayed for her son, St. Augustine. I think you're going to have to pray it and live the faith. And maybe also let them know that there's a show called Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders on EWTN that they could just listen. And if they have questions about the faith, they themselves can call in too. What I'm also finding a lot of times, Vicki, is just talking to your family members, letting them say and get off their chest what it is that made them leave the church. Sometimes it's just things happen. They drifted away when they got older and moved out of the house. Sometimes we find that people just don't believe that what they've done can be forgiven. And if they understand that there's a message of forgiveness that God wants them, and that there's a sacrament of reconciliation, and our God is a merciful God, but it does require some desire to repent and to turn away from sin, but he's there ready for them. What has it been like, if you don't mind my asking, do you have any idea what has caused your family members to leave the church, or do you know yet?
Well, yeah, actually, I have three sisters. One of them lost her faith in university in Santa Cruz, California. Mm-hmm. So she's an atheist now. And the other two that are practicing in the Protestant churches, they had very difficult marriages and are no longer married. And they have very difficult lives as single moms. And their ex are very difficult to deal with. And they're alone. And the Protestant church provides community and physical help that we don't provide in the Catholic church. And I think that's pretty much, you know, they stop going to confession. Probably they feel guilty for going through the separation. And then they feel welcome and loved at these other churches. And,
you know, some of these Protestant churches are good at the love bombing, is what I call it. They're good at the love bombing. But let me just say, Vicki, we do have Catholic Charities, which does help with assistance for families that need it. So it might not be out of their parish directly, but we know Catholic Charities does help in the diocese. Usually a lot of dioceses also have help for people that are in difficult situations. So your sisters may not be aware of that. And so I know this is really difficult. And the other thing, let me just say this. It doesn't depend on you. I mean, some of it has to be their willingness to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. All you can do is plant the seeds. And if they're willing, those seeds will grow. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. But don't despair and don't feel like, you know, that it's on you if they don't come back to the church. Do your best. Live your faith. Be a good witness. Invite. Also, I would say open invitations to them to come back to Mass or to come to a holy hour, things like that. But, you know, just don't despair and don't think that it all falls on you.
Okay, Vicki?
Yeah, we live in very different, very far away. One of them is in California, one is in Florida, the other one is in Cancun, Mexico. So
okay.
We're very far apart.
Well, we'll be praying for your sisters and for you, Vicki. I have you on my list.
Thank you,
now.
Gloria.
And you're welcome.
Thank you for your joyful personality. I love listening to you.
Thank you for listening.
Oh,
very
she's talking
nice.
To you. Oh, sorry.
She's talking to you too, Si. Si is hilarious. You know, you all are the best. Si, you have the best people, I tell you.
Thanks for building me up.
Yeah.
Vicki, we really appreciate that call. I have to say one thing to you, Gloria, as a person from California. It's very funny, and I realize this is kind of dark humor, but she doesn't even explain it. She just says, my sister went to Santa Cruz and became an atheist. Like that's what happens to you when you go to Santa Cruz. And it's kind of true in a way. Like, it's a little bit true.
Oh, wow.
So, sorry for the darkness. Jim in Indianapolis, save me from myself. Your question for Gloria. Jim?
Well, thank you for making me laugh. That was funny.
Good.
My question was about, you know, we're talking about hope, and I'm a divorced Catholic, and it seems that being human, I really don't have any choice but to sin and go to confession. Are there any changes or options for people who are divorced and don't see a way to an annulment?
Well, you have to first go seek an annulment, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So before you...
Don't just assume.
Yeah, don't assume. Go and seek that annulment.
Has that happened, Jim?
I don't see how it would work because we were both saying adults. You know, she went crazy. Well, let's not get there. But anyways, she's married to other people now, one after another.
Jim, I just want to reemphasize what Gloria said. You should talk to a priest or deacon about this. That shouldn't be left because, as Jimmy Akin likes to say, we're not a good judge in our own case.
Yes.
And so you should seek the judgment of the church.
Yes.
And it's a judgment that the church has tried to make it easier to render in recent years. The paperwork is easier to fill out, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And they try to make a just judgment that there's no, the church is not in the business of saying a marriage is null if it's not.
Right.
But you should be just to yourself in that regard. Jim, but Gloria, go ahead.
I definitely think I agree 1,000% with what you said, Cy. And you know what? And not to be fearful of what the church may tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is why to seek the counsel of a good priest or a deacon, because then they can help accompany you with whatever during this process. I don't know if people know this. Brian Patrick, who was a host of Morning Glory with me, he talked about going through the annulment process. Mm-hmm. And it took him a while before he went and to seek one, and he said he's glad he did. And so I would suggest that you do the same, Jim, and don't go in with a spirit of fear. Go in with a spirit of seeking and wanting to know what the church is going to render in this case. But you'll have to be forthcoming with her when you go through the marriage tribunal process.
Jim, we'll have to leave it there because we have to take a break. We'll be right back with more with Gloria Purvis on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
I like it. Gloria boogies when this music comes on.
Because
I do the same thing. I always feel like I'm the only one dancing when the music
comes on. I love it.
Oh, Gloria, when are you moving to California so we can do a show together? I want to steal you away from Tom Price.
You know what? When the cost of living in California is not ridiculous.
Oh, so never.
Right, exactly.
So we'll never
be seeing you out there. I'm like, it's expensive.
I know. Darren right next to you is expecting his third child right now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to call you Big Daddy now.
You will be the only
Darren,
one.
Big Daddy. Big Daddy Darren.
We are at the 19th annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference. This is Catholic Answers Live. Gloria Purvis is our guest. Gloria is one of the hosts with Tom Price, who also joined us a few moments ago of Morning Glory on the EWTN Radio Network. And up next on the line, I believe, is Vicky in Duluth, listening on Real Presence Radio. Vicki, happy to have you. Your question for Gloria.
Well, it's not really a question. I left the Catholic Church, 20-something years. And so I, as a good evangelical, I was driving across country about probably 8 or 9 years ago, and I heard this lady, and it was a Christian station, and she was making a whole lot of sense. And I actually was shocked because it was a Catholic station and her name was Gloria.
What?
And I thought, oh, that's weird. And maybe it wasn't 8 or 9. I don't remember. But I was really impressed. But then I filed that away and I left it. And I went back to my evangelical church. But I just filed this apparently unknown to me in the back of my brain. And after my husband died almost 3 years ago, I was trying to pick a church to go to, and God called me back to the Catholic Church, and I fought the whole time, did not want to go, and ended up going back, and a lot of it was due to EWTN. I mean, you hear this all the time, but it was. And when I heard Gloria, I went, that's the lady that I heard that made so much cool sense. And I have wanted to thank you forever. Well, not forever, but for at least 3 years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Vicki. No, no. Let's thank the Holy Spirit. Let's thank God. Glory to God. Glory to God that I wasn't messing it up that day that you were listening. Because, honey, child, I can mess it up. So apparently I wasn't messing it up. So glory to God on that. And Vicki, let me just say thank you to you. You're a real hug from the Lord, not only for myself, but for Cy and Darren and all of us in Catholic Radio. Because this is why we do what we do. And, you know, this is just, you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us and sharing this as a hug for us from the Lord. So I'm so glad you're back. And thank you for your kind words to remind us why we do what we do. This is beautiful.
Vicki, can I ask you a question, Vicki? Would you mind if I ask you a question?
No, I'm very outspoken on this, so no, not at all.
Okay, so when you're an evangelical, you've left the Catholic Church, what would you say is the main obstacle to coming back to the Catholic faith that you had to overcome? You said you fought, so what were you fighting with?
The fact that I thought, oh, there's so many weird rules, and it's kind of ironic because I never realized how many rules I had in the evangelical church, and this is not an indictment on all of them, but for example, I had to go buy some vodka for a spot remover, and I was terrified somebody would see me buying vodka. And I bought a scratch-off ticket, and I was terrified somebody would see me doing a little scratch-off lottery thing. And when I came back to the church, it's like, oh, okay. I'm not doomed for, you know, like that.
Right.
But that's interesting.
I think we're afraid. There's a stigma. I've had a lot of people say, "I can't believe you." Do you know that the Catholics believe that that's the real body of Christ? And I went, "Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, I do." But no one. When I told my friends, nobody. They were all shocked. They were completely shocked. And I dare you to ask me to defend my choice because you're going to get an earful. I am so much more at peace. I love it. But I've got to tell you, one of the really big deals to me is that I try to go to daily mass, and that makes such a difference.
Amen. Yes. You're right.
Going to daily mass. And listening to Catholic radio, I listen to Catholic radio with the exception of when I've got a 2-year-old that wants my granddaughter wanting to hear songs and singing. I listen to Catholic radio all the time. And I sound like an ad for it, but it's true.
You do sound like an ad for it, and I love it because it's the radio conference, and we love hearing it. And if you're ever with the 2-year-old, just call up and we'll sing Baby Shark to the 2-year-old, all right? So then you don't have to ever turn the station. I better let you go, Vicki, because I want to make sure I get all the callers in for Gloria today. Vicki, thank you for inspiring us. Thank you very, very much. Jen in Florida, listening on 98.3 FM. You are up next. Your question for Gloria Purvis.
Yes, hi. I just want to say that I totally agree with everyone that's been saying such positive things about you all, particularly as a woman. I appreciate Gloria's tone and kind of her calm and warm demeanor, which I would like to say that I've been very active in the Catholic Church and pro-life movement for a long time. And one of the things that's very difficult, I think, about bringing people into the church today in general is I've worked at many parishes, and for some reason we have this thing where we often have really inhospitable people as a gatekeeper. And I'm just being very honest. You know, we have to work on that because, you know, we have a product to sell, which is the truth. And people aren't even going to listen to the rest of it if they're not received warmly. And I think this is where we're losing ground
to a lot of evangelical churches because they, you know, they're Jesus with skin on, right? Mm. And that's what they say anyway. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that for anyone who's listening that's maybe functioning in the church, priests, everybody, okay? We need to be kind, and we need to be loving, and we need to be charitable. And I really think that that one caller that said that she has two sisters who are single moms who are struggling.
Yeah.
A lot of times I see a disconnect between, oh, well, this person is in need, and they left the church, or this person, left the church, blah, blah. Well, you know what? I think maybe we could all say, okay, this person's in need, and they're right in our pew. Maybe we could say, you know, is there anything you need? Like, if you see a mom with little kids, you know, they're struggling, maybe buy them a pack of diapers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, we do. Let's
you know what I was going to say? I love what you say about sometimes people could be inhospitable. I tell people eye contact and a smile goes a long way. You know, when you see people in mass, I mean, I have to tell you, I go places and I'm, you know, unless it's a big, warm, you know, thing of, oh, morning glory, glory, purpose coming. I go places, you know, and very treated very rudely. People are not very welcoming, but I'm not there for them. You know,
no.
It's nice that if people are welcoming, but I recognize I'm there to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And really, frankly, nobody is, no matter how rude or even if they want me to like sit off way in the back, as long as I can receive Jesus in the Eucharist, I will suffer anything. But that's just me. Now, if you're talking about trying to get people to come to the church, of course, yes, I do. We do need to be welcoming in that we are treating somebody as a human being made in the image and likeness of God, like we all are, right? So that comes with a certain level of respect, and we should be happy that they're there with us to try to praise the Lord. So I agree with you, but just not everybody does it. But that doesn't stop you or me from being what we would like to see.
Amen. Jen, thank you very, very much for that call. Well, I live in a parish right next to the world's largest marine base.
Mm-hmm.
And those mothers who bring, you know, 3, 4, 5 little children while the husband is away.
Yeah.
That's usually what we see. I know there are very many women Marines as well. But mm-hmm. They are such heroes. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, a kid is acting up, and I feel like I would like to say to the mom, let me just hold the little baby or something. But you can't mm-hmm. be a 50-year-old man
True.
Coming up to
That's just not the world we're in right now.
Shall I hold the baby
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, like,
But there are a lot of opportunities. And sometimes I see women in the church or even teenage girls who
yes.
will help those moms. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But I've been in those parishes where you walk in and you're like, is there a reason why nobody likes me?
Yeah,
like, have
right.
they seen the show? Or like you just get a vibe.
Yes, indeed.
I guess it's easy to take it personally, but Catholic churches are not always warm places.
No, that's just the way it is. It's not always warm, but we know our Lord is there, and that's where we come. And, you know, we can offer that little bit of you know, being rebuffed or whatever, or, you know, inhospitality, is that a word? Offer that up, you know, because Jesus wasn't welcome everywhere either. And the other thing that I was going to say is sometimes I've been to parishes where people are angry that a child is being a child, making noise or
right.
baby crying. And I was like, really? So, you know, sometimes to just give a, you know, a warm look to that mom's like, yeah, we know. You're
yeah.
a smile
nice.
Or thumbs up or something.
Right.
Because I can tell you, you know, you can feel very self-conscious when, you know, you're getting all these glares and like, can't you shut that child up or something?
Right.
So let us not be that either, you know?
No, right. It's a Catholic church. And,
yeah.
and where I am, Gloria, where we are in Southern California, I don't know how it is with you, but you know, you have Spanish language mass and mm-hmm. English language mass mm-hmm. and many mostly Mexicans mm-hmm. In the Spanish language, Central Americans as well in mm-hmm. Spanish language mass. They have a real welcoming sense for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes feel like, well, we are a little too in love with our peace and quiet or
mm-hmm.
something. And
mm-hmm.
and that's not the way it is everywhere where
no.
there's Catholic people. It's maybe we're a little, well, I don't want to say that, but we are we're a little bit Protestantized in the U.S., even the Catholics.
This is true. I've heard that critique before, too. Yeah, we need to change that, people.
Gloria Purvis is one of the hosts of Morning Glory on EWTN. You should tune in every morning early. Get up early. I do. Well, I'm going to tomorrow. Tom Price, thank you very much for taking the mic and sharing lovely stories with us. And Gloria, let's do this again.
Indeed, I like working with you. This was fun. I loved seeing you eye to eye. This is great.
Yeah, dude,
you're not bad to look at, ladies. Can I tell you?
Okay, we're going to leave it right there. We'll be right back after this. Catholic Answers Live.